We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day. It
is... Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning, and my sweet friend Tina's over there running the iPad, and my other sweet friend, Renee Kielhofer, that I've known a long, 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 long time.
You're making me sound old.
Well, I mean, we've been in this together a long time. That doesn't mean we have to be old. We could have started when we were really young.
That's it. We were babies.
Is our guest this morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. One other way you can send it is to our phone, 580-485-0837. We do record in two parts, and we'll have it posted over on the website shortly after the program's over. If you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, you can send them there, therockchristianmusic.com. Our Facebook sponsor today is... What? Oh, yes, Prophetic Voice Ministries. You can tell I haven't been here for a while. I thought about this yesterday, so I knew who it was yesterday evening, but I did sleep a few hours last night, so I forgot. So we appreciate each one of our sponsors who have been so faithful to support this program. And, you know, the program, with it being on Facebook, it will go all over the world. We often have people from Honduras that I knew there from and have known there from mission trips that I see have tuned in. So that is a wonderful thing. And, Renee, a while back, it popped up on my Facebook page that we'd had like 681 viewers in the past month.
Wow.
That is really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what a blessing this is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, I think I've covered everything. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. Father, we give it to you and just ask that your will be done and that you do in us what you have set out to do in this hour, that we would be open to receive and that the words would be anointed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So what is your title today, my dear?
Today we're going to talk about keeping your focus or ways to keep your focus. It's important that we keep our focus on God and off ourselves mm-hmm. as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And this requires frequent, if not constant, readjustment. For me, I think it's constant. It's like a piano or a guitar. You know, when they're in tune, the music is melodic and peaceful and beautiful. But when they're out of tune, it's like cringing and stressful. And that's kind of how our lives are. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25 in the Message version says, so let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some people do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. And what I love about this verse, especially in the Message version, is that we do it on purpose.
Mm.
It is intentional. This life that we live for Christ is intentional and on purpose. I love that. It's not something that we just react to.
Mm-hmm.
It's on purpose. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about four broad areas that we need to be intentional in. And those areas are praise, people, purpose, and passion. So we're going to start with praise. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and 2, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, That is our true and proper worship. Now, when we think of sacrifice, like my mind usually goes to a big altar with a bull or a sheep, you know, bleeding all over it or being consumed by fire. And actually, you know, the Israelites, they did offer sacrifices that way under the law. And they offered their first fruits and their very best livestock as a sacrifice. And this was a sign of God's ultimate priority in their lives. It was a declaration of their trust in God, a tangible sign of belief of his provision and his value. It signified that God was worth more than anything that they could possess. And so that living sacrifice that Paul talks about is the human embodiment of that, of all those things. It is a lifestyle that demonstrates our confidence in God and his priority in our lives. So, in other words, what Paul is saying is you are living a testimony of God's worth. Everything you do points to his glory.
Amen.
Or should.
Should. That's right.
Let me read this verse to you out of the Message version. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I have just fallen in love with the Message version. It is so in your face. There's like no gray area, no way to skirt around what God's trying to tell you. So here it is. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Now, we don't have to do it alone. That's important. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's worthy of a pause. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I mean, it can't get much plainer. Worship is the substance of Christian life. It is not just a Sunday morning affair. And we kind of want to put it in a box of when we think of worship, we think of praise and worship. We think of music. And it's so much more than that. It is a lifestyle. And what's so cool about that is it does something in us. You know, worship awakens us. It heals us. It rescues us. It's like our ladder out of the pit, truly. So it's much more than music. It's life. And, you know, we live, well, let me back up. Part of that lifestyle of praise is being committed to a local body. And that's important. A local body of believers. That commitment is an outward sign. It's not the only sign, but it is an outward sign that God takes priority in my life. And so it's not a box to check, but it's an important part of helping us keep our focus on God. And a lot of times in Christianity, we do reduce God's word down to a list of do's and don'ts. And that is not what God is about. We do not have boxes that need to be checked. Sometimes our problem is that we just lack that commitment to follow through because we're so busy checking boxes that we miss the commitment part. We have what I like to call a consumer Christianity in our modern culture. You know, we shop for a church like we shop for a car. We make these calculated decisions about which church community will offer the most comfort to us. And then our commitment to that body last only as long as our comfort endures. And so once that comfort gets interrupted, we're out of there. You know, I got to go someplace where I can be fed, meaning I got to go someplace where I can be comfortable rather than, you know, being challenged in some way. Because our concern is not primarily whether people are being transformed to reflect the countercultural values of God's kingdom, but whether or not they're being satisfied. And we kind of present the gospel that way. I'm guilty of it too, because when somebody's hurting, you want to help them feel better. And so we present the gospel as all about them instead of all about Christ. So praise and worship is a lifestyle. It is not an escape or a distraction from what's happening. In other words, it's not our Christian equivalent to retail therapy. And the difference between distraction and worship is distraction is an escape, but worship is a return. Mm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Distraction avoids what's going on inside of you, but worship restores what's going on inside of you, what needs to be restored. And so I love that. If you dig into the Psalms, you will find so many of God's attributes. And I encourage you to make a list of those. Like, the Lord is wise. He is faithful. He's holy. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's my refuge. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And it just goes on and on and on. But if you will make that list, commit it to memory or keep it with you, literally reciting God's attributes over and over will slow your heart rate. It'll calm your breathing. You can literally praise your way out of it. It will restore your soul because God created us for praise. And there's no greater joy than praising praiseworthy things. And the more praiseworthy the thing is, the more joy we get from it. Now, think about this. Say you go camping out in the woods and it's just a beautiful scenery. When you come back from your camping trip, you want to tell all your friends about this beautiful place that you saw, or this you went to a concert and this awesome music you heard, or this great movie you watched last night, because praising completes our joy. Mm-hmm. See, something's left hanging when we don't have someone to tell how good it is. So isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Because what could be more praiseworthy than our God? Praising God's our lifeline. Yeah.
Nothing could be more worthy than that.
Yes, yes. So it's going to give us the most joy, the most completeness, the most healing, the most restoration when we praise our praiseworthy God. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool because it's for God's glory, but it's for our good. And that's what's so cool about God. Mm-hmm. Everything he tells us to do, it's not to check a bunch of boxes to just because he wants to see if we'll do it. It's because it's for our own good. And so that gives glory to him, and vice versa. When it gives glory to him, it's for our own good. He created this cycle to work in us for his glory and our good, his glory and our good, his glory and our good. I love that.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting, just thinking about that. And, you know, we've been taught forever that we need to praise him. We need to praise him in the good times and the bad. Mm-hmm. And if we're not praising him for whatever's going on in our life, and sometimes that may seem ridiculous, you know, you have a flat alongside the road and you need to get somewhere, and we're supposed to praise him in that. Well, I've had situations like that happen a few times in my years of traveling. And, you know, so many times someone would stop immediately and help me.
Yes.
And this, I was sharing that with a customer one time, and he said, you know, you just have a Pollyanna attitude. And I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. Yeah. Well, it's finding the best in everything, and that that's a gift God gave me, I guess. I always try to look at the bright side, not the dark side. And so I was not happy I had a flat tire, but I was very happy that someone stopped immediately to help me. So that was a huge praise.
Yes.
And we have things we should praise about all the time.
Yes.
You know, I think about Alberta Helton having gone through cancer, and it was like stage four or something, you know, cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she came through that, and she said, every day, I give praise several times a day. I praise the Lord for bringing me through that. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And that praise, like, overflows onto people, which is my next point. Because loving other people unleashes us. I love this quote from the AA founder, Bill Wilson. He says, "What pulled me through this period was God's power and grace enabling me to get out of myself and help others. I would leave my house with my problems on my mind on my way to meet a new guy. And I drive home unable to recall those same problems just a couple of hours later." And how many times have you experienced that in your life when you get out of yourself and help someone else? You know, Romans 13:9 can be summed up in four words: love God, love people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're called to do. And there is a powerful truth that when you turn your pain into love for others, it helps you. Again, brings glory to God and for your good, for his glory and our good. Excuse me. So much more than just good Christian behavior. It's, again, not a box we check. God asks us to do it because it glorifies him and it heals something deep inside us. If we can get to that place where we can turn our pain into love, God will pull you out of yourself, and he will heal you in a way that self-care can never heal you, that retail therapy can never heal you, that going to get that facial or that pedicure can never heal you, or if you're a guy, going out and killing that deer can never heal you, or whatever. I think it's deer season, or it's coming up. Maybe I'm just trying to be relative to everyone who might be listening, so bear with me here. Not a hunter. But what we have to do is quit limiting God to just the big stuff. What we do is we only take him the big stuff that knocks the breath out of us. And if it seems small or trivial, we are way less likely to go to him for redemption. But we think, oh, this is too little. I don't want to bother God with that. So what we do is we either try to just move on from it quickly, or we wind up wallowing in our own self-pity for a period of time. And the reality is that God can use everything that we give him, and that little tiny trivial thing might just be the bridge that God can use to connect you with another purpose or another person. And that connection gives us purpose, which is my next point this morning. I just love how God works in our lives. And it, to me, it's just so cool letting this soak in, that the cycle of God's glory and our good. God's glory and our good. It's not one or the other. It's hand in hand. And each is a consequence of the other.
Mm-hmm.
God's glory is for our good. It's for our good. It's for God's glory. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that cycle. And we're all unique. We all, well, I like to say there's no such thing as normal. You know, I mean, well, what exactly is normal?
Well, normal for me would be completely different than normal for you.
Yes. You know? Yes. And we're so good at judging other people for not being normal or being a little different or a little weird.
Walking to a different beat.
Yes, yes. And, you know, they're looking at us thinking, man, that girl's weird.
Yeah.
You know, or that girl has a Pollyanna attitude. What's wrong with her? You know, because there's no such thing as normal. We're all unique. We're all created individually. We have our own quirks, our own interests, and God has given us those. And when we learn to love people in our own particular way, then it just ignites us somehow. It's like when we can use our specific interest or our specific personalities to minister to another person, then it motivates us, even if it's hard. You know, I think about, I have this really good friend, and she loves to cook. Now, she is a very busy woman. She is a rancher's wife, and she's not in the house all day while her husband's out doing stuff. She is actively engaged in all of that ranching stuff, again, that I know nothing about. But she also has twin daughters who are seniors in college. One is getting married in December. But for the last 5 weeks, she has come to a Bible study at my house and brought an entire meal, including dessert, for all these ladies every week. Wow. Because she loves to cook, and so that's the way she loves us. Mm. And I know that she doesn't have quote-unquote time to do this.
What time is your Bible study?
Well, you guys were all invited, but we ended last Monday.
Oh,
sorry.
Dadgum.
So I will mention it in the spring because we do it in the spring and the fall. So I'll mention that again in the spring and make sure y'all get the memo there. Because she did it at our spring Bible study too. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing when I think about her. That's a unique gift for her, is her, she's, like, her cooking is like a masterpiece. I tell her she's like the Picasso of the kitchen, you mm-hmm. know? And she loves doing it. So she can pack that into her busy schedule because she's motivated by her purpose, because she knows that's going to bring joy to us mm-hmm. when she does that. So that's the way that she is serving us. That's not her only talent, but it's my favorite one of her talents, you know. So even when it's hard, it motivates us to keep going when we have that genuine purpose. And we all have gifts. We all have a calling, whether that's motherhood or ministry or anything in between. No calling is the same because we're all different. And we all need a healthy vent for those passions. If we don't have a healthy place to vent those passions, then we're almost like this geyser that's just gonna erupt at any unpredictable moment, because we need to use those gifts. We need to use those talents. They just like well up inside of you. Like, I love to talk, y'all haven't noticed.
Really?
So if you want to say something, just butt in. But I know there have been different times in my life that things were going on that I wasn't able to maybe teach that class for a period of time or be active for a period of time. And I would feel that way. Like, I'm going to explode if I don't get to be with somebody today and tell them what's in my heart. It's just, it's like an explosion. It really is. And my husband will say sometimes, you know, he'll say, you've gone to preaching. You know, just stop. You're not talking now. You're preaching. You know. But I can't help it, because I love to talk. And I used to think that was a bad thing. But now I'm starting to understand that that's a gift, because I'm not intimidated to talk in front of a group of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are. I know, now I don't do as well one-on-one. I have a little more social anxiety on a one-on-one situation, but the crowd never gets too big. Because here's the deal. If I'm talking to you one-on-one and you don't look like you agree with me or you like what I'm saying, I don't know where to go from there. I get nervous. But if I have a sea of people, I am bound to find at least one face in each section that looks like they're interested. That's the person I talk to. And I tell myself the whole time, they're eating this up. They're hanging on every word. They love it. You know, and so, and that's not deceiving myself. I think that's a gift. And people say, you know, what are you, think about what you're good at. Because I have spent a lot of time in my life doing that. Like, well, what am I good at? I do a lot of different things, but I don't really do anything well. You know, that was how I felt. And so I started thinking about, I heard somebody say, think about things that you've won awards for in your life. And so I started thinking back. And you know what the very first trophy I ever won was? I was 11 years old, and I won a trophy for a speech contest in 4-H.
Oh.
I was like, that's it. I'm supposed to be talking. But our gifts are meant to be used, is my point. And God's granted us our abilities not to set them on a shelf, but to help build the kingdom. That's what they're for. Again, for his glory and our good. So do we need to pray?
We do have a few prayer requests, so this would be a good time to break. And Tina, I'll have to apologize to you. I wrote a couple over here that you don't have.